Blog Talk Radio.
Carol the Coach. Sex, love, and relationships. We talk about it here.
Carol the Coach. Compassion with contemporary relevance.
I am a psychotherapist. I can be your personal life coach, and I can help you with your issues. There are no problems too small or too big. You can talk about anything.
Speaker, columnist, radio TV host, and commentator. Carol the Coach brings messages of wellness and empowerment within reach of everyday people every day.
Almost 5 years ago, I lost my soulmate in an accident. He was killed in a plane crash. Life just for me has seemed to stop.
There are groups all over the city. I mean, I teach one. It is a specific way to start thinking so that you shift how you see the world, which then shifts your energy, and then you feel better and you actually see things differently.
Carol the Coach, always available to at carolthecoach.com.
Now, I've got Russell on the line.
I'm 47 years old. I'm a truck driver. I am married. I have a wife in San Francisco.
Okay.
I haven't been home in 6 months. My thing is, I don't know if I have a sex addiction or what the problem is. Why do I want what I can't have? And as soon as I can have it, I don't want it anymore.
You're right on target when you say, I don't know if I have a sexual addiction. Well, guess what? Yes, you do. And you know what? That's my specialty, Russell. So you're at the right place. Continue.
I meet women online, and I'm in a different part of the country. I travel all 48 states, so I love sex.
I hear self-esteem issues. You never felt good enough, and you didn't feel like you were getting what you should have then, and you're reenacting that now. Do you want to change that about yourself?
Oh, yes. You know, that is a true question, and you hear me say that time and time again. Do you want sexual addiction recovery? Because if you do, it's hard work, but the dividends, the payoffs are great. This is what I promise you, is that you will be a better person when you learn how to manage this disease, this illness, this disorder, this problem, and you will actually have better coping skills, you'll feel better about yourself, your relationships will improve, and life will just be better all the way around. That's what I promise, but you have to work the program. You have to work the 10 tools. And I'm excited tonight because we have a representative from Covenant Eyes coming on. And that Luke Gilkerson is a man who helps to educate the public about what Covenant Eyes can do. So we've got him coming on in about 15 minutes to talk about what is Covenant Eyes. And obviously, there's a lot of questions people want to know, you know, how do you use it? Does it work for everything? What's the success rate like? Can people get past it? You know, what are the features? What's the cost factor? All that information Luke is going to be covering tonight. So we're really excited to have him on the show. And I'm excited to be here because most of you know that I was gone the last 2 weeks. Now, it looks like, as I explored, 2 weeks ago, we had a really good show about partners and how to treat partners. And I was real pleased with that rerun because, truly, partners are in pain. Addicts have the shame. Last week, I think there was some glitch. I was in Florida. I set everything up. I used Blog Talk to do it, and I'm afraid to say I don't think we aired a show. I'll check into that. I'll find out what the problem was because I never want to let you down. I'm here for you every Monday night, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And truly, if you have a question, you can call 646-595-3284 and ask that question. Now, I did get some emails this week, and they were pretty interesting. First of all, I got an email from a man who says, Carol, in my struggle to overcome my porn and sex addiction, I listen to your show consistently. Thanks for keeping the show running. You're a great encourager, and I can use all the help I can get. He says, I've spent decades trying to lower the priority and my neediness around sex, and I know, and he has that in capital letters, it is not my most important need or most urgent or my highest priority. Breathing has to be the first, water next, food, rest, and real intimate relationships. Sex fits in somewhat below those. So as you can see, this is a guy who gets it. He did a really nice job of kind of summarizing what are the most important things in life. He said, the problem I've created is this. I have repeated my mantra, sex is overrated, so many times that it is working. My body still functions perfectly well. I have no difficulty performing sexually. And he's lucky because a lot of sex addicts, well, they sure do have trouble performing sexually. I just don't enjoy it. I don't enjoy sex. Sex is hard work. It does not feel worth the effort. I'm the one who does all the stimulating. I'm the one who tries to avoid all the things that trigger her traumatic memories. I tiptoe through the emotional minefield and try to cause minimal pain. I get my crummy little orgasm over with while trying not to hurt her, then get back to filling the rest of the 1 or 2 hours with her pleasure. The way it seems to me, sex is for men to want and women to enjoy. Whew! This guy's a little bit angry. And he has not figured out a way to compromise and negotiate with his partner to get his needs met and not to have to work so hard. Now, I'm glad he said that he doesn't have any sexual problems, per se, performing, because I got to tell you, sex addiction is progressive. And as I interview and surmise from my many, 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 many hundreds of clients, believe it or not, even though they were triggered early on in their childhood, and became fixated early on at ages 5, 6, 8, 11, 13, 15, when they first saw their first pornographic content, most of them say it wasn't until their late 30s or 40s when they really felt like this issue became out of control. Now, see, I know that's going to be changing because we're not dealing with men that started at age 11 like a lot of the young men today. A lot of the men that I work with are in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, and that's when they really felt like their sexual addiction became rampant. Okay, so he says, my client who writes, I think we need some help. Sex feels like a burden and a threat to me. It is certainly not fun. I used to like French kissing, loved giving oral, and the promise of receiving was the bait my addict killed me for. Sex has become formulaic and utterly rigid. She knows what she wants and how and when, and I dare not color outside of her lines. I get a lot more fear than pleasure out of it. The big reward for me is the words, I love you, while she is orgasmic. But my right hand gets tired as she does, as does my departing libido. Well, anyway, enough whining. Time to go to work. Thanks for the podcast. It's great encouragement to me. Okay. I received that, and, you know, he's said, I can use all the help I can get. Well, I got to tell you, I really, truly believe that this is a man who needs to reconnect with his wife in lots of other ways before sexually. So what I would recommend is that he listen to my podcast on improving sexuality with Bill and Ginger Burkaw. B-E-R-C-A-W. That'll really help start the intimacy going. And they've written two books. The first one is specifically on exercises that you can do to build that intimacy. And I really feel like that's what you need. I know it takes a long time. I know it does. And it's worth the investment, especially because it doesn't sound like you enjoy sex. It feels like drudgery to you. It's a chore. It's formulaic. So let's see if we can't spice that up. You go to those podcasts. I've done two with Bill and Ginger, Burkaw, B-E-R-C-A-W, Doctors Bill and Ginger. Get their books. Give that a shot, and then call me back or email me and let me know how you're doing. All right. Now, I have a, I have had another email. And it said, "Hi, Carol, I listen to your podcast weekly, and you have helped me so much since I found out my husband is a sex addict in April. I moved out of our home in August, and he appeared to be working hard on his program. My husband has been going to SAA twice a week and Celebrate Recovery twice a week. A month ago, I got a text from him that just said, 'BJ.' He swears it was a butt text, but I didn't believe him. He asked me to set up a polygraph with a polygrapher recommended by his therapist." So what she really says is, "I let him know I was at a crossroads and this test would tell me which direction to go. He took it Sunday and he failed two questions. The questions were, 'Did you have sex with anyone other than your wife in bed at your residence? And since March 6th of this year, have you had any other sexual contact with anyone other than your wife?'" So she wanted to know from me, did I believe in polygraphers? And did I think that they could be helpful? And I had to say to her, absolutely yes. I 100% believe in them, but I think they have to be trained in sexual addiction. And that is so important to know. Because if you don't have somebody who's trained, you may not get the kind of expert that knows what questions to ask and how to ask them and how to use kind of a double-blind questioning that will help to determine central nervous system response. So what I would ask her to do is to find another polygrapher. And I would have her find somebody who has sexual addiction background. And I would tell her if she needs to, she can call me, and I can find out from the four men that I use who they would recommend. Because that is so important to have somebody who's skilled, not just with giving the test, but skilled with being able to know what types of questions to ask. And, more importantly, how to give the test. And as you well can imagine, it is important to have all the factors right. And so don't ever hesitate to call me. You can reach me at carolthecoach@aol.com. Or go to my website, Sex Help with Carol Coach, and contact me through the contact page. Okay, so that is some important stuff that obviously our listeners wanted to know. Things about polygraph tests as well as things about intimacy and sex in general. We all know sexual addiction is an intimacy disorder. That's what this show is about, helping you to have a great relationship with your wife or husband. Okay, well, I told you before, I'm really excited about having Luke on from Covenant Eyes. I mean, he is somebody who is trained as an educational resource manager, and he disseminates information that he finds absolutely helpful. So, Luke Gilkerson, thank you so much for coming on and sharing information about Covenant Eyes, because I'm telling you, a lot of people have a lot of questions about this kind of accountability software. So thanks
I'm sure they
for
do.
Coming on the show.
Well, thank you, Carol. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I know that you must feel like you really have an important job, because this is stressful stuff for a lot of people, and they
it
want
is.
The best services available. So
it
tell
is.
Me a little bit about what is Internet accountability?
Well, Internet accountability is about creating honest conversations around Internet use. And so, as you know, the Internet is used largely anonymously and secretively. It's very, very easy for people to create corners to hide online where they can explore a lot of their sexual curiosities, where they can explore a lot of their sexual desires or whatever. And there's a niche for nearly anything that you could possibly want online. And so it's and it's all done secretively. You know, you can do it, and it's even more secretive now with, you know, the invention of smartphones and tablets and stuff like that. You can go nearly anywhere and connect, and no one seemingly has to know what you're doing. And so Internet accountability is about reversing that. It's a kind of software service that actually tries to reverse that trend, where people put this on their computer, they put this on all their devices, and it sends a regular report to people you know and people you trust about the places you go online. It's a way that you volunteer that information up front so that you don't leave any opportunity to hide.
Okay, so it absolutely helps couples to establish
yeah.
that trust by being a feature that you can use via your
yeah.
computers, tablets, or phones.
Right. Right.
That keeps the sex addict from being able to get through other pornographic materials.
Yeah, I mean it's first and foremost, Internet accountability is unlike filtering in a couple really clear ways. First of all,
okay.
A filter is a blockade, right? A filter is a way to stop the access, which is of course very valuable in its own right. Accountability is about openness and conversation. If you're using just an accountability service, it's not going to block anything like a filter would. It's just going to send a report to the people that you have designated to get that report, and they'll have access to the information, such as, you know, what webs the websites you went to, and what time you did it, and what day you did it, and what search terms you put into the search engine, and all that kind of stuff. It creates honesty. It's a medium for you to practice honesty with other people.
A filter system. It is an accountability system that lets
yes.
people know
yes.
when you have been to the wrong places, so that you can talk
right.
about that and
yeah.
kind of renegotiate and compromise what
sure.
somebody's doing.
Right. Yeah. And it's of course, the company I work for, Covenant Eyes, I mean, we have a filtering service. That's an optional service. People do opt in for that as well. But
mm-hmm.
the primary thing that we're known for and the primary thing that we offer is accountability service. In fact, it was the first thing that we offered people, and we don't think we even added on an optional filter for maybe the first 7 years of our company. And so this was the primary thing people came to us for. They wanted to eliminate the secrecy around Internet use from their life, which had been more or less the haven for their pornography habit and their pornography addiction to thrive. And by eliminating the secrecy, they got their stuff out in the open. They were able to talk about it more. When there was a problem, when there was a slip or a relapse, people knew about it. People knew about it up front. And of course, one of the big things is that it completely, for a lot of people, reduced the temptation or eliminated the temptation to want to go exploring anyway. Because they knew that, you know, in the end, someone was going to know about it. So it created that place, that space for people to be honest, to be real with others, to find the accountability they were so desperate for.
Well, I don't know if you heard my last email, but certainly in some ways
yeah.
that's what polygraphy does. You know, when you go to a polygraph
right.
test, you again are held accountable for what you may have or may not have done. And that really does help recovery management.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
you
know, so oftentimes a filter situation versus an accountability situation, you know, with the accountability situation, like, for instance, I have a lot of guys that they don't send their information to their wives. They send it to their sponsor or to their pastor or to their best friend. So do you have recommendations for that?
You know, we have we took a survey of our members. We have now, you know, over 150,000 people who are using our software around the globe. And we took a survey of a number of them, and we tried to find out, you know, where are they sending these reports to? Who are they sending them to?
Mm-hmm.
About a third of them send the reports to their spouse. Now, because we offer unlimited number of accountability partners, you can send them to any number of people. You can send them to multiple people if you want. First, a lot of these people, their spouse isn't the only person they send their accountability report to. Some might send it to a pastor or a mentor, a sponsor, a good friend at church, whoever. They might send, you know, they're out to other people, but about a third of them will send it to their spouse. And, you know, generally, here's our advice on this, is that while it is, of course, very valuable, can be extremely valuable, for a spouse to have access to that report, especially if they're trying to reestablish trust in the marriage. It also depends on a number of other factors going on in the situation. So, for example, if the husband, let's say the husband is the one, and you know, primarily violating these things, let's say the husband's going out and looking at pornography. For a number of women, they don't like getting these reports continually in their inbox that this is what's going on. It causes undue strain in the marriage because they're just more or less inundated with the information. Or even not even so much even just a time of relapse. Because our software is so finely tuned, we know when they were just a click away from it. So let's say they went to a web page that was generally benign, but it had links on it, advertisements, whatever, something in the sidebar, something that was there that could have led them down that primrose path to, you know, somewhere bad. We'll relate a lot of that information too. And for some women, knowing that, oh, that my husband was in this one place and he could have been, you know, tempted, and you know, even if he didn't go, for some women that's distressing. It's very distressing to them. And so some women don't want to have access to that information. They prefer that their husband send this report off to trusted mentors, friends, sponsors, people who are helping him on a day-to-day basis with these things, people who are getting his reports, getting his phone calls, you know, talking with him through, you know, the temptations that he's facing, and they're happy with that. For other women, though, it's the opposite. They love knowing that their husband has entrusted them with this part of their life, and it's a sign or a token of, I have no secrets with you. I am doing all I can to eliminate my life of secrecy, to eliminate these patterns of lying and deceit. And with some women love that token of trust. And it's done a great work in rebuilding trust. Either way, you know, either way, I would say to couples that the presence of the software has helped out immensely in building trust, even if the spouse isn't the primary person getting those reports, simply because the spouse knows that the option for secrecy has been removed. And so I would say, you know, generally speaking, for a lot of men, this, you know, their spouse is their partner. Either way, we would say that if your spouse is getting the report, we highly recommend that someone else get it too. And if for no other reason, then a spouse isn't often going to ask. You were just mentioning this in your last comments here. But a spouse is not going to be able to read that report necessarily and ask the kind of critical questions about what's on the report in order to you know, press the issue further in order to talk about the circumstances, the motivations, the things that were going on in the person's mind during this time. And for a lot of women, they don't want to press. They don't want to, you know all the dirty details, so to speak. They like getting the report. They like knowing it's there. But they may not be the best person to be trying to dig beneath the surface to, you know, to try to help their spouse, you know, overcome these addictive habits and those sort of things. Actually, using the information on the report sometimes that's better left to a sponsor. And so that's what we recommend. If your spouse is going to get the report, someone else should get it too. Someone you trust, a counselor, a sponsor, someone who actually is going to be able to use that information in an effective way.
Well, absolutely. And for any of us, you know, I'm the only certified sexual addiction counselor in Indianapolis. And if everybody was sending me their information, I'd be so inundated I wouldn't be able to do therapy. So I know what my boundaries are. Somebody else may really want that information. They may not have the high volume. That's the same thing I find with wives. For some wives, it's actually traumatizing to have to look through that. They feel like, as opposed to establishing trust, they're a warden. Well, that's obviously the dynamic they have going on with their coupleship. And so there are plenty of people that they do want to know. They want to be the first person to know. They want to celebrate when it's a clean report over and over again.
Yeah,
now,
exactly.
I said that about clean report, but really, Covenant Eyes, do they send something weekly, or do they send something when there's something that looks suspicious?
We send it on an interval basis, so you can have it every day, every 3 days, every week. The interval is up to the accountability partner who's receiving the report. And those reports, of course, many of them are going to be clean. Some of them may not be clean, but the clean reports are just as important as the ones that say, you know, close review recommended at the top of them. They're just as important because establishing a clean report habit is, of course, the whole point of this. You know, if you're continuing to get bad reports over and over and over and over and over again, and then, you know, there's something's not clicking, you know, something's not working. There's still more work that needs to be done. The goal is that we're eventually going to see more and more and more clean reports. And so celebrating those clean reports is of course great. And so, yeah, especially when you're early on in the accountability process, you want, when those clean reports come into the inbox, a good accountability partner is going to open that up, is going to call up the user they hold accountable, and they're going to say, "Hey, great report. Everything looks clean here. I just wanted to congratulate you. I just want to, you know, say great job, you know, at this." For some men who, you know, and I'm sure you talk to men like this all the time, Carol, you know, they've looked at pornography every day for the last 20 years of their life. And to have gone a day or 3 days or a whole week not having looked at it, that's a, you know, that's landmark for them.
That first clean report,
that's like huge. That's a huge thing, and it should be celebrated. Yeah, so having those clean reports come in, they come in whether they're clean, whether they've got mature stuff rated on there, you know, wherever it is in the report, you will see all that come in on the report, and so you can celebrate the clean ones as much as you can deal with the ones that, you know, have material on there that need to be dealt with. So,
right, yeah, it's not just a watchdog in a negative way. It's a positive thing, too, and that's what we're both pointing out. And truly, I have to tell you, Covenant Eyes is, I think, the best in the industry for accountability software. So for people that are listening right now, know that I typically don't endorse a certain treatment center, a certain type of person, or a certain software, but this really is excellent. I know that I just had a woman the other day, and something came up on her husband's report 4 times in 3 days. And I won't go into it because I never want my listeners to hear what the new and up-and-coming thing might be. I don't want to trigger it. But she called. She called Covenant Eyes, and she found out that indeed that might have been an advertisement that got through. And they helped her to determine, well, actually, to regulate how Covenant Eyes was used on the computer, and then to determine in the future, was it an ad or was it something that he was looking at repeatedly? Now,
right.
As I say that to you, do you understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we have really refined our reports over the years to try to make it as easy for people to understand, but the web is a constantly changing medium. And
mm-hmm.
so, yeah, what, you know, you get this, these advertisements that might be there. Like I said before, on an otherwise very benign web page, and I think we've all probably experienced this online where we're minding our own business and you know, going places that are very appropriate to go as far as we can tell. And sure enough, there's some racy ad or something that might be triggering for people, just kind of lonely sitting there on the page somewhere. And, you know, for some people, that's not going to be an issue. They may not even notice it. But for other guys who, especially this is their thing, if pornography is definitely their hang up, it's their addiction, those things can be very triggering. And so we made sure it was easy for people to sift through those things. So actually we recently made some big changes to our reports, and they're continuing to make changes across the platforms we cover, that we're distinguishing between, you know, visited websites and just supporting what we would consider a supporting item. Like an advertisement. There's a lot of things that are supporting items on a web page, right? I mean, all the every little Twitter link or Facebook like button or all those things are supporting items. They're coming from somewhere else online and showing up on this web page, but
mm-hmm.
they're not the content of the page itself. They're not what the page is about. So there's the visited stuff, but then there's also the supporting things. And the supporting things might include an advertisement or whatever. Some people... especially if their pornography problem isn't demonstrative, it's something they've dabbled with, but they've wanted to have Covenant Eyes in order to not dabble with it anymore. This has been a lingering problem in their life, and they just want to kind of nip it in the bud before it becomes a major problem. For some people, you know, all they're really looking for on the reports, on those kind of reports, are just the visited items. Where did you go? What did you do? What did you search for? That kind of stuff. For people who have been in this deep for a long time, they want to know all the information. They want to know all the places where there might have been a temptation, a problem, even just, you know, sort of flirting with temptation that can happen so easily, where men just want to go and maybe they justify to themselves, I don't want to go here and I don't want to do anything wrong, but I want to go here and just pretend like I could. I want to go here and just flirt with this temptation a little bit. I won't click on anything. That we want to catch all those times too, not just the moments where they, you know, go headlong into it, but, you know, the times where they sort of just dabbled in it, which is why on our reports you'll see things like a search module. You're typing something into Google or Bing or Yahoo or whatever. We want to catch the actual search terms people are using, because that tells you a lot about what they're doing. If you can see the search term, and the day and the time they made that search. There's not a whole lot of room for hiding with that kind of information. An accountability partner can go to the user and say, so you were up at 2:36 in the morning on Tuesday and you typed in this word. What gives? What's going on? Let's talk. Let's talk about this. You know, without that ambiguity there, it's hard to continue those habits of hiding. And that's a big key for a lot of people who really struggle with pornography. They will so easily console themselves in the past. They've so easily consoled themselves on, well, I was telling, so, you know, I confessed my problem to some people. I talked about it to some people, but really they only gave half-hearted confessions, half-hearted information. They only said a little bit to ease their conscience, but they didn't really divulge the true nature of what they were doing or how much they did or where they went or what was really going on. But with something like Covenant Eyes, it eliminates all of that ambiguity. You know exactly what's going on. And we even tried to make it easier for people because we have a rating system similar to what you might see for like TV ratings, movie ratings, video game ratings, where we have letter ratings for every type of website you can go to. Everything from E to E for everyone, all the way up through T for teen, MT for mature teen, M for mature, HM for highly mature. It just kind of works up the scale. And this rating system, we label every single website. We rate every single website in real time according to what's on that page and what's presented on that page in order to make it even easier for people to be able to tell what's there, to tell what the rating of the material is. So they're not left guessing or they don't have to go hunting down the websites after they see them on the report. The rating system is there in order to tell them, well, what's there. So this is really helpful for, you know, a family system, for instance. If you are a parent holding your child accountable because you want to try to prevent these problems from happening in the first place, you know, you're going to pay attention. You know, if you've got an 8-year-old child, you're going to pay attention to sites that are rated teen because, you know, they don't have any business on Facebook or Instagram or whatever else. Whereas those sites might not be a problem for, you know, someone that, you know, otherwise is, you know, maybe old enough to go to some of those websites. But for someone who's addicted to pornography, you might pay attention to a wide variety of rating materials, of rated material. You might pay really close attention to, you know, websites, of course, that are going to be mature in nature and highly mature in nature, but you're also going to pay attention to other websites, too, that might be on the fringe, might be in those gray areas. So we try to make it as easy as possible for people to read the reports.
Well, absolutely, and I have to commend Covenant Eyes because truly it's my belief that the Internet boomed because of Internet pornography, not because of Bill Gates. And so they are always 10 steps ahead trying to figure out how to seduce, how to activate, how to encourage, and so Covenant Eyes has to be one step ahead of that industry to actually be able to circumvent what they typically do to get addicts to get to their site.
Yes, exactly. The pornography industry is and has been for years cutting edge. You said that they sort of pioneered, in a lot of ways they actually helped to drive a lot of what we see online today. So much of, especially early internet adoption, was spearheaded a lot by pornography. So, I mean, things like Flash, a pop-up window, security improvements for a la carte pay services, those were things that were pioneered and funded by the pornography industry. Now, of course, they're used more commonly throughout the day, you know, throughout a lot of industries today. But it was pornography that planted its flag in those places first. And it's really, really important for people to realize that this is exactly what people, this is exactly what the industry is trying to do, to try to hook people with information, not just the websites that they present, but they've actually designed their websites in order to hook people. In fact, if you go to, and I've read some of these, if you go to the trade magazines of the porn industry, they're really disturbing and strange things to read. But when you read them, you will find that they are taking the same information that people like you produce and people like me produce, information about addiction, the nature of addiction. They take that same information and they turn it over on its head. And they say, okay, we know that we want people to get hooked on our product. So knowing what we know about the nature of addiction, and specifically internet-driven addictions, you know, which is, of course, it's a whole new medium. It's not just sex addiction anymore. We're talking about an internet-oriented type of addiction on top of this.
Are you referencing gaming and things like that?
Certainly, yes. I mean, the internet's kind of it's a highly addictive medium in and of itself. I mean, people talk about this all the time. probably in less or more, maybe more benign or socially acceptable settings, where and you see this coming out more and more, how people have a difficult time unplugging from technology because they're used to the constant clickable stream of information. And so you take that same kind of, you know, habit-forming medium, and then you sexually charge it with pornography. Of course, people see it with social media, people see it in gaming, people see it with gambling. All those things are present online. But when you sexually charge it with pornography, now you've got a you're getting a double dose of the kind of an addictive element. You've got this, not the sexual content, but you've also got the also being all driven by the internet. So anyway. The trade magazines, they see this stuff. They know this stuff about the nature of addiction because they read the same stuff you and I do. And they say, knowing what we know about addiction, how do we design our websites in such a way to maximize the possibility of addiction? And these are articles that come out in the periodicals of the people who make the porn. They are studying the same psychology you and I are, and turning it over in its head and saying, what are the ways we can help to hook people better? What is the easiest way to do that? You know, how do we design our web pages in such a way that they become this sort of endless rabbit hole that never seems to stop and never seems to end? Infinite novelty, infinite fantasy, always something better, possibly better around the next bend. And anyone who's ever been in that trap before, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's that constant search. You know, if pornography was simply a matter about lusting and masturbating, if it was just about that, then men would just find an image, they would satisfy themselves, and they'd be done with it. But anyone who's ever been addicted to porn knows that's not how it often works. They will binge for hours on hours on end with this constant promise that there's something better around the next bend. There's something even more tantalizing, more sexually gratifying around the next corner. And it just keeps going and going and going and going. And that's what the medium of the internet did for pornography. It created this constant illusion of something new, something next. Because there's always something to click. There's always something a little more. So, yeah, and the pornographers know that just as well as the addiction counselors do. And the sex therapists.
Oh, 100%. Now, if people are interested in finding out more about your product, obviously they can go to covenanteyes.com, which is spelled covenanteyes.com. Is Covenant Eyes, I know the answer to this, but what is the cost factor for people with Covenant Eyes?
Sure. Well, if you want an individual account, just an individual user account, you're the only one in your home using it, that costs $9.99 a month for the $9.99 price. For that price, you get unlimited number of devices you can put it on. So put it on all your computers, your laptops, your tablets, your phones, whatever. That's $9.99 a month. Unlimited accountability partners. You can put it on have as many people receive your reports as you want, and with all the features that are a part of that. Now, if you want a family account, so you want unlimited number of users in your house. So let's say it's you, it's your spouse, you've got a teenager, you've got an 8-year-old child, you know, it's many, the babysitter, your grandparents who live with you, whoever it is you have in your house. Have as many usernames as you want. That costs $13.99 a month. And for some people, I know that times are, you know, money's tight. And so we actually have at anyone's disposal, we have a hardship program. And all they have to do is call us, call our customer support team, let them know that you want to take advantage of the hardship program. If you actually cannot pay for it, we will give it to you for free for as long as you need it. Because we don't want cost to be a barrier. For some people, they've taken advantage of this. For some people, they've been using the service for a while, and then they, you know, someone gets laid off, and they don't want to lose the protection they've had. They don't want to, you know, just completely bottom out. They don't want to lose their safety net. So they'll call us and say, I just lost my job. Can I take advantage of the hardship program? We say, yeah, sure. And we give it to them for several months at a time. You know, you have to renew and let us know what's going on so we can continue to renew your membership. But in the end, we don't want cost to be a barrier because this is an issue that's, quite frankly, it's become quite an epidemic. And we don't want cost to be something that keeps people away from the protection that they need.
Now, you sound like you work for a company that has a heart. You know, I mean, obviously, if you're willing to put that option out there for people that are experiencing hardships, that's very heart-filled. Tell me, how did the company get started?
It started 14 years ago. Our CEO and president, Ron DeHaas, he was, at the time, he had two teenage sons. He was really, his family was really exploring the internet in a serious way for the very first time. And he realized there's a lot of problems on the internet, a lot of pitfalls, pornography. And this was back in 2000. So he explored different filters. He searched for different types of filtering that was available. He didn't really like any of them. He didn't like either they overblocked, they underblocked. They really didn't do what they wanted. But the big problem with them is that they just didn't deliver the kind of service he really wanted. I mean, even if he found the perfect filter, it still was just a filter. He knew his teenage sons, these were young men. They were becoming adults. And he wanted to treat them like adults, not like children. And so he didn't want a filtering program that was just going to block bad stuff. He wanted to know what was going on. He wanted to have access to the information so that he could have constructive dialogues with his sons about what they were seeing or what they were doing. And so he pioneered this concept of internet accountability. He pioneered it right there in his own home. He worked with some people who were able to write some software, and they worked together on building something. He started using it in his own home, and as he started conversing with more people, he found that more people really wanted something like this. They wanted to not just be able to monitor their children online. They really wanted to have peer-to-peer accountability relationships or accountability relationships with people in their church or mentors that they had because they knew the tendency for secrecy themselves. So when he put it out there to people, they said, this would be the service people would love. So he packaged it and started selling it, and, here we are 14 years later, and it's become quite, really quite, like you said, quite a wonderful company to work for, a real company with heart. About 100 employees or so here in Michigan, and it's continuing to grow leaps and bounds as more and more people hear about us.
Well, and that makes sense. You know, one of the things, when you said you were an educational resource manager, I thought, what in the world does an educational resource manager do? And obviously, it's not just about making money. It's also about educating the public about what you called this epidemic. So can you say a little bit more about why does your company produce education when you're really a software company?
That's a great question. I think the first reason is because our software, as far as the accountability end of it goes, our software is, I would say, relatively useless if you don't have the right people getting the reports. If you install it on your machines and you just let it run, but you never actually assign those reports to go to anybody, then it does you no good. And so the dynamic, the relational dynamic between the person who's using the software and the accountability partner is critical. Not only do they need to go to someone, they need to go to someone who knows what to do with the information. And that is not something that software can train. And so we see education as incredibly valuable for our members because they have to know some of the ins and outs of, okay, well, what is pornography addiction? Or even if you're not addicted, what is this thing called pornography that can so easily work its way into our lives? And why is it so tempting? Why is it so addictive? beyond the obvious. I mean, why is it this ever-present thing that's out there online? How do I protect my kids from it? What do I tell my kids if they see it? If I've got a friend who's struggling with pornography, how do I encourage him to deal with this? If I'm a spouse of someone who's addicted to pornography, how do I deal with this within my home, within my marriage? What resources does my husband have available to him, or do I have available to myself? These are all things that are critical, because once pornography enters the picture, it just leaves a huge mess in its wake. And we want to provide people with the kind of resources that they need in order to help to clean up that mess. It's all going to come, you know, it's all going to come by relationship. Relationship is so critical when trying to deal with this issue. And we know that those relationships aren't going to thrive unless they have good education to inform them. So that's the primary reason why we have education. Another reason why we do education is because, quite frankly, this is a cause in our culture, in our society. And so we try to provide free education to the world, regardless of whether they use our software or not, about the issue. And we want people to know that this is a real critical issue. It's a cause we fight for, and we fight primarily through educating the public.
Well, I really admire that about you and the company, because clearly that's what people need. I mean, so many people think that pornography and what I would refer to as sexual addiction is a moral issue. It's just somebody who doesn't have enough discipline, or it's just men being men. And, you know, what we know is it's not just men, it's women. It's not just men and women, it's kids. And it becomes very compulsive and very obsessive. And when that occurs, loss of control occurs. And, you know, parents all over the country are seeing bills of thousands and thousands of dollars where their kids have viewed pornography or given charge cards to their friends so that they can view pornography. And it is epidemic. Now, tell me a little bit about the special features that Covenant Eyes has before we end for tonight.
Sure.
You know, you were talking about accountability versus filtering.
Sure. Like I mentioned before, we have an optional filter, which is available on most all of our platforms. And people do take advantage of that, and they use it in their home. They primarily use it with their kids, although some adults use it for themselves. As far as our accountability feature goes, our accountability system, I mentioned before, our rating system, that is a feature where you can not only see all of the websites that people are going to and see them rated according to the content that's on those pages, the maturity of the content there, but you can actually also customize your reports to show a certain rating level. So let's say you only want to get reports where the highly mature stuff is the stuff on the reports. That's all you want. You can customize your report to see that. You can customize your report to see everything if you want, and everything in between. So we want to make the reports as customizable to exactly what people are looking for. That is a part. That is a feature. Another feature is that we're, of course, available on a variety of sites.
Are you able to know what they've dialed it down or up to?
It is up to the accountability partner, not to the user. So it's the person who's receiving the report that has that ability. The user can make a recommendation to the partner. You know, they can, when they're signing up a partner, they can make a recommendation. I think it should be said at this. But ultimately, it's the partner who has that control.
Right, but in terms of Covenant Eyes, do you have a way to know what people are utilizing, whether they're doing PG-13 or, you know, late teenage adolescence or hardcore stuff? Are you able
to see that? In terms of our rating system itself, our rating system is designed to catch those kind of things. In fact, our rating system is built on that age-based level. So there are some websites that by their very nature, this is an easy example. Take something like Facebook, right? Facebook is meant for people 13 or older. It's meant for that. That's what the site is for. So at a baseline, the baseline of all of Facebook is teen, rated T for teen. Certain pages on Facebook can be rated higher based on the content that's there, but a baseline is teen. right? And that's just because we know what Facebook is. The same would be true for a lot of different websites. If you go to different websites, they might even ask you for, you know, age verification. You know, we can see all that information. We can see the kind of information, the kind of photos that people are posting. So all those things will up or down the rating depending on what's there. And we try to distinguish between different types of websites, you know. So, for instance, if you go to a medical website that might include the word breast on it, in the context of the page, we can tell that it's not necessarily something that is inappropriate for specific audiences because it's containing the medical information. We can tell that by looking at the whole page. But if the same word appears somewhere else that's pornographic, we can tell that because of the context of the whole page. So we try to distinguish between content that might be viewed as pornographic or very highly mature kind of material and something that just might be, mature, you know, for a mature audience, but nonetheless not necessarily pornographic. So we try to distinguish between those things.
Got it.
Try to look
okay, any other
So that's
features?
One of the features. Last feature I want to mention is our panic button. This is a cool feature. It's available on our Mac and Windows for Mac and Windows computers. The panic button is kind of what it sounds like. If you are surfing the web and you notice that you kind of feel like you're going to be tempted, maybe you run into something that just you just feel so compelled you want to look at it, you can click on our software right on your desktop, or you can click the little button that says panic button. A little message pops up and says, "Are you sure you want to do this?" You click OK, and it shuts down, literally shuts down your internet access. It completely shuts it off.
Wow.
Your computer can't access it anymore. And what it does is, and then the only way to turn it back on is if you have to call our customer service and they have to manually turn it on. So it is a, and then an email is sent automatically to the accountability partner at that very moment that the panic button's been pressed. That is, for a lot of people, a really neat feature. They use it when temptation's high. They just feel like they've got to do something. You know, they've got the itch, and they know they don't trust themselves. They click the panic button, and all of a sudden, the option's gone. Many people talk about how that happens. The partner gets an email right away. They get a call from their partner. They talk about it. They work through it. They pray through it. And when the temptation is subsided, they call up, the customer service. They get the internet turned back on, and everything's fine again. But that's a feature that a lot of people love.
And that does not cost anything extra?
No. That's all included.
Wow. Well, Luke, thank you so much for sharing this information. I know that you have made a huge difference in helping people to realize what is Covenant Eyes, and you're the first accountability software program that I've ever interviewed, and you just did a beautiful job of doing that. If people want to get a hold of you directly, is there a way to do that, or should they just contact Covenant Eyes?
Well, I would say contact Covenant Eyes, but if you ever want to talk to me directly, one easy way to do that would be to go through our blog. I'm the primary author of most of the content on the Covenant Eyes blog. Easy to find, go to covenanteyes.com. And you'll see a tab at the top that says blog. Any number of the articles there you can comment on. I respond to all the comments. I read all the comments. We have other people who read the comments, trained counselors who read the comments as well. So, you can always contact me through there. That's probably the easiest way to get a hold of me directly.
Perfect. Well, I so appreciate it, and I hope to work together soon again because – this is one of the 10 recovery tools that I talk about that help to keep people abstinent. And all the others are inspirational reading and recovery reading and sponsorship and going to 12 steps or doing an online recovery management program. But yours truly is the only tool that I recommend to help people to stay accountable. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for recommending us. I appreciate it.
Okay, have a great night.
Take care, Carol.
And as I tell everybody at the end of the show, hey, there will only be one of you at all times, so fearlessly have the courage to be yourself, and we will see you next week. Talk to you soon. You're listening to Sex Help with Carol the Coach.